Well, good morning. Man, I am so glad that you are here today. Isn't it a beautiful day outside? You don't think so? Yeah, it is a nice day. And thank you, Art, for acknowledging that. Nice day outside. You like my new toy? These are like toys for preachers, okay? This is what a preacher gets when he gets a new toy, okay? He gets a new little table that he can use up front, and a little bit different setup. I think it's going to work out really, really good. You know, I know what you're thinking, okay? So let me just acknowledge that I can read your mind this morning. And it's like, oh my gosh, how much more has he got to say about David and Goliath? Well, today's going to be it, I promise. Last week was supposed to be the end, and then I realized that I didn't cover some stuff that I was going to on the Sunday that Connie, her retirement, because we had, you know, our time frame was so much different. So I wanted to do this one more week. But let me just let me give you just a heads up too about this coming starting today. Actually, is Saturate Altoona. Today begins Saturate Altoona for the next four Sunday evenings downtown in the plaza at Altoona. We're going to be having this wonderful get-together. This is the second year for it, Saturate Altoona. And at 5:30, there's going to be all kinds of free giveaways, you know, food and, you know, slushies and drinks and stuff like that. And then at 6:30, the program will start. And I just want to tell you, I feel like a proud parent this morning. You know, when you see one of your kids that they get some kind of honor or some kind of, you know, recognition, you know how you feel inside? Well, tonight, believe it or not, Arlene is actually one of the speakers. She was invited. I had nothing to do with it. The committee that put the program together this week, they invited Arlene to share the subject matter, and I think this is why they asked her the subject matter this year. Last year it was Saturate. You know, we talked about what it means to be set. This year, it talks about going deeper. And so Arlene will be one of the three speakers tonight. So I hope you'll come out and join us and be a part of that. Bring a seat, bring a chair to sit in, and just enjoy yourself down at the Heritage Plaza tonight, beginning at 5:30, and then the program will be at 6:30. All right, let's jump in here and talk a little. Oh, no, there's one more thing about that, about Saturate Altoona. That's tonight, and then each Sunday night in June, that'll be going on. But next Sunday morning is going to be something really neat for our local churches here to demonstrate unity in our community. We're having a pulpit swap. Okay, so I won't be here next week, and I'm not going to tell you who's coming. Okay? But I guarantee you, he's one of the best speakers, best preachers in our area, a great friend of mine. He'll be here, and I'll be somewhere else. And different churches around the community are participating in this, and it's just going to be a good, good time. So so please be here and support him and support our area as we celebrate the unity that we have in Jesus. All right, let me start with this thought here this morning. Do you understand and realize that you have all you need? That you have all you need. You know, the Bible actually talks about that we have all that we need in order to be all that God wants us to be. But there's different times in life, I think, when you realize or when you come to understand that not only do I not know this, I don't live it. Not only do I not understand that this is true, it's really easy to live contrary to knowing this. You see, theoretically, I think we all can say, you know what, yeah, I understand that God is all I need all the time. And all the time, God is good. I mean, theoretically, I can say that, but how about in how I live? Do people see that? Is that readily understood when people look at us? You know, I had a neat thing happen just the other evening. My neighbor came over, and he asked me to borrow a tool. I thought this was really cool because he's never asked me to borrow tools. I've asked to borrow his tools many, many, many times. But he's getting a new garage, so his garage is like all packed up, and he's not sure where things are. And he came and he asked me to buy a tool. And as I went in and I got the tool and I brought it out, I said to him, I said, you know what? This makes me feel really good that you asked me to borrow something. Matter of fact, keep this for quite a long time. I want to live with the fact that you have something of mine, something that you need. And he's kind of laughed, like, what's going on with you, John? I said, you know, this just brings great satisfaction to people like me. You know, people that don't have tool boxes, we have tool basements. Things are just strewn around everywhere, and you got to look for them or find them. And it just did my heart good to think, oh, goodness, he's borrowing something from me. You know, sometimes I think that we go through life not understanding that we have everything that we need. Too often we're wanting something, we're desiring something. We think that if we got that next thing, that we would be set, that we would have all the pieces to the puzzle. That we could just put everything together and everything that would make sense, and from here on out it would be wonderful bliss. But in reality, the Bible says that we do have everything that we need. You know, I used to do something very cruel to my kids when we were younger. We would always do a puzzle around Christmas time. And when we'd lay the puzzle out and we would start working on the puzzle, I would take one piece of the puzzle. I'd just pick up a random piece in the puzzle, and then I would hide it somewhere in the room. So that when we got to the end and, oh my goodness, we're missing a piece, I could put in the final piece. Isn't that terrible? I recognize that that's just despicable and how to live. But I did that a number of times, you know. And then, you know, it finally got to the point that they'd be putting the puzzle together, and they'd get about 3/4 of the way finished, and they'd say, Dad, we know that you hid a piece somewhere. You know, because they knew what was coming. I wanted that peace. Here's the thing, folks. Don't look for that missing piece in your life. Don't think that it's out there somewhere and that you don't have everything that you need to be everything that God wants you to be. Here, let me show you this passage of Scripture. I love this passage of Scripture. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse 4. Look at what it says. It says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. You see, folks, here's the thing. God wants us to know that we have everything that we need, that He wants us to have. The Bible makes it clear that all of God's people are gifted. Not that you've just fallen in by some happenstance or some stroke of luck, that you've got a particular gift, a particular bent, a particular skill set, but that when it comes to spiritual gifts, God gives you these gifts, and the Holy Spirit helps us to discern what they are, and also helps us to discern how best to use them. And God is trying to use them in our lives to make everything about our lives and everything around our lives better. How differently the story of David would have gone if David would have spent his time envying everyone else's gifts. Think about that. The Bible's pretty clear that everyone around David, his brothers, Saul, Goliath, and probably many others, that everyone recognized them as being blessed, as being gifted, as having things that they needed in their life to be successful. And everything that they had in their life to be successful, they recognized that David did not have those same things. And if David would have spent his time wishing he had some other skill set, wishing he had found some other blessing or some other gift, oh my, how David's life would have been different. But instead of David focusing on the gifts and abilities that everybody else had, he just went out and he picked up 5 smooth stones that God had demonstrated that could be used as wonderful gifts and assets in his life. Here, let me show you a few things from this story that I think really, really speak to this idea of gifting. If you take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, in verse 32, this is what it says. It says, David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go out and fight him." And then look what Saul said. Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." You see, there's some specific things from the story of David that I think teach us about this lesson of recognizing that God has given you all you need. That you don't need another piece, that you don't need a missing piece, that you don't need anything else other than what God has already placed in you. Now, I'm not talking about growth. I'm not talking about maturity. Certainly the things that God has put within us, they need to grow, they need to mature as spiritual gifts that we need to have those in greater number and greater volume as life goes on. But they're all already there. Notice in this passage that David says, "I'll go out and fight him. I'll go out and fight him." But what happens? As soon as he says this, Saul starts talking him down. Saul starts telling him why he shouldn't, why he can't, why he won't be successful. Now let me give you a little understanding about this. Over in our office, if you know where my office is, and in the counseling office where Don does his counseling, is right across the hallway. And years ago, when Don first started counseling with us, and he was in that office, it was really easy for the sound to travel across the hallway into my office. And I most of the time could block that out, but there came to be a time that he would have certain clients in there, and they would just use language that, you know, that wasn't very pretty, stuff like that. I mean, you can imagine when you're doing life with people and talking about messiness of life that it gets sometimes heated that way. And Don came in one day. He had this this noise machine. Has 2 speeds on it, high and low, and the low is just like this rumble of ooh. Or you can turn it on high and it's like ooh. But here's the thing. We came to call that little machine, I'm almost embarrassed to say this, but it's true. It was the F-bomb machine. Because occasionally he would have somebody who would use this awful language, and he started turning that thing on so that it would, like, just, you would hear that rather than something else. You know what that's called? It's called white noise. You see, I think that's exactly what Saul was here to David. It was just that white noise. You can't, you shouldn't, you won't be successful. You know, things that you just, you know, it's always there, it's always constant, You know, you never can get out from under it. And here's the thing I think that David's story teaches us. We need to learn to block out the white noise. We need to block out, you know, how Saul said to David, you won't be able to fight against him. Goliath is so much bigger. He's so much more powerful. His weapons are greater. He's been a warrior since his youth. Who are you? What can you do? What do you have? Everyone else is afraid. Just over and over and over again. And listen, folks, we need to learn to block out that white noise. It comes from people that you think would love us, want to encourage us, want us to do our best. Many times it comes certainly from the devil, from our culture, from society. Sometimes it's the very people that you think would be the most encouraging or the most discouraging with just their constant bombardment of the white noise of negativity in our lives. You see, last week we talked about how we shouldn't let people hold us down because we're young. But you see, in David's life here, this was the white noise in the midst of God's clear call and command. That's amazing. It's amazing when you think about that this is what God is trying to show us and tell us, and to teach us, in spite of a lot of the stuff that's going on around us, he's telling us, yes, we can, yes, we should, yes, we shouldn't allow all of this discouragement to come our way, but many times that's exactly what we do. Have you ever looked up the actual definition of white noise? I have it here. It says white noise is a type of noise that is produced by combining sounds of all different frequencies together. Think about that. Combining of sounds of all different frequencies together to the point where you hear all of those frequencies over the most important frequency. You see, folks, in a spiritual sense, there's all kinds of voices around you. But the one that we need to be tuned into is to make sure that we are tuned in to what God is saying to us. Here, let me read you another passage here from 1 Samuel 17. It's in verse 34. Look at this. I love this. He says, but David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock. I went after it, struck it, rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. See, here's the thing. Here's the second thing. And listen, make note of this. Write this down. You want to remember this. Tune out the white noise. But as you face your future, remember your past. As you face your future, remember your past. There's so many stories in the Bible how God prepared somebody for their future by helping them remember their past. Remember Joseph? Joseph sold into slavery. Joseph who said, hey, to his brothers, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. You know, Joseph, who seemed to not get a break about hardly anything in life, how he just had one strike after another, you know, his brothers selling him into slavery, him going down to Egypt, ending up in prison, you know, on and on we could go about things that happened to Joseph. But through it all, he understood that God was preparing his future by helping him to remember his past. Wow, folks, what an important thing to remember. Here, look at verse 19 of Genesis chapter 50. What a beautiful part of the story here. In Genesis, we have that one? No, we don't have that one. I must not have put that on there. Here, let me read it to you. Sorry, I didn't write that down right in my notes. Look at this. This is so important. Genesis chapter 50. You know it. Verse 19. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. I am in the place of God. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God?" His answer to that was certainly yes. It was yes. That was exactly what he knew. He knew that he was in this place for God. And God tells us over and over and over in His Scripture that He knows exactly where we are. He knows exactly where we're headed. He knows exactly what's coming our way. And a lot of times, our past is preparing us for our future. I had this great conversation with someone the other day. They were talking to me about how they'd been raised in what they considered to be a poor home. He told me, and it's interesting because I kind of felt the same way. He said, "You know, I was 30 years old before I realized that I was poor when I was a kid." And what he meant by that is that by every indication in the world, his family was poor, but his family was full of love and devotion and faith and family and all that. And he was an adult before he ever knew that he was poor. See, some of the things I think that we try to save our children and our families from today are the very things that shaped our character and even our faith. Sometimes the very things that we don't want our kids to go through because we had to go through them are the very things that made us who we are today and contributed to us, to our faith, to our understanding of who God is and how He can bring us out of all of these different times and things in life. Listen, folks, where we have been is meant to give us strength and confidence in where we are now and where we're going. And that was certainly the case with David. You see, David's victory was based on a lot of things, but it certainly was based on his ability to drown out the white noise of negativity around him. His victory was based on his ability to understand that he can remember where he's been, and he can remember God's victories, and he can remember his faith and how it served him well in the past, and know that it will serve him well into the future. And here, let me show you one more. If you take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 38, he says, "Then Saul addressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him, bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. 'I cannot go in these,' he said to Saul, 'because I am not used to them.' So he took them off." You see, folks, here is the point of this passage. David knew that he didn't need anything else for his victory and other than what he already had. What did he already have? He had a sling. There had been countless times that he had stopped by the babbling brook and picked up a few smooth stones to use in that sling. He had all that he needed. I love this text, because David isn't trying to fit into the mold or fit into the way that the world looks at things, but he just simply relied on his faith in God. Folks, there's so many things about life I think that will teach us this if we will just hang on to that we have all that we need. You know, I was very fortunate when I was a young person. When I first went into ministry, I was surrounded by great preachers. I really was. I had a homiletics professor in college that was just top notch. David Inyart was his name, Dr. David Inyart. I loved him. His daughter one time complimented me, and in reality, what I realized was that she was criticizing me. When she came to a church that I was serving, not long out of school, and she said to me, she said, "Do you know what, John, when you were preaching," she said, "I could have closed my eyes and I would have felt like that I was in the presence of my dad." Now, at first, that kind of, I thought, wow, that was a compliment. But in reality, I realized that wasn't very complimentary. Because what she recognized is something that I knew. I was trying to be him. I was trying to act like him. I was trying to preach like him. And you know what? God didn't want us to be anybody else. God didn't want David to do his best impression of Saul. God doesn't want you to be like anybody else that you admire in life. All God wants of you is for you to be the very best you that you can be. And you know what? When you walk out and you try to be the very best you can be, you're going to hear a lot of criticism like David did. People thought that he was crazier than a loon to go out against Goliath. But he had to be him. He had to do it his way. He had to depend on what God taught him in the past. He had to tune out all that white noise. He had to realize that he had everything that he needed in life. You see, many of us, some of us, are trying to fit into somebody else's armor, somebody else's clothing. We're trying to tell their story and make it be our story. We're trying to take their situation and fit our situation into their situation. We think that their existence is better than ours, so if we emulate them, then our situation will be better. But it is not true. Here, let me show you how not true it is. There's a beautiful story in Matthew chapter 14, and it's the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And it's about the disciples. And let me just kind of give you some highlights. You know the story. It's a story of these thousands of people that needed something to eat. And everybody was saying, you know, we got to send them home. They have to go. We don't have anything for them to eat. And what did Jesus say? Jesus says, tell them to sit down. And then basically he says to the people, what do you have? Well, we got a couple of fish and several loaves. Think about this story for a minute, folks. And what God is trying to help us to see is that miraculous things can be done in life, in your life, not with what you don't have, not with what you wish you had, not with what you hope that you have, but by what you have. And even though what you have may not seem to be enough, by your own estimation, certainly not by the estimation of the world, but what we have dedicated to Him, cutting out the white noise, depending on God's faithfulness in the past, and understanding that we have everything that we need in life right now for miracles to happen. Think about it. David put aside the extra stuff. David put aside the excess stuff. David put aside the things that other people told him that he needed to use. And the only thing that he used was the things that he had. Was the things that he had had. And he went to that little stream with faith in his mind and in his heart, and he bit down and he picked up the same things that he picked up countless times before. And he put them in his pouch, in his satchel. And he went out to do the very things that no one else thought he could do, because God had already given this Philistine in his hands. Listen, folks, it is a powerful thing when you realize how powerful the things are that you already have. I came here today to convince you, to convince all of us, that we don't need anything else. We don't need someone else's armor, because there is great power in believing in what you already have. Because listen, folks, if not, then we become trapped in this endless loop of white noise, where there are too many voices saying too many things and too many options and too many experiences of shame and regret and defeat, for us to ever to go confidently out into the future and take hold of what God has for us. Does that sound like you today? I think in many ways it sounds like all of us. But I encourage you to shut out all of the white noise that tries to get you to hear something else other than God. I tell you that God has prepared you with your past, for your present, and certainly for your future. And understand that you literally have everything that you need within you to defeat the enemy in front of you. You see, like David, try to have a singularly focused mind. A mind that is on the power and the majesty of God. Try to become a person like David is known as, after the very heart of God. Others will follow you once you show them how that's the kind of life that leads to victory. But if we don't look at life like David did, then everybody just stands around in defeat, because they don't know how great God is and what God can do through ordinary things dedicated to Him. You and I, we already have all that we need. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that today that you would energize us, Lord, one final time here with this story from the life of David. God, teach us the lessons that his life so marvelously demonstrates for us. Help us to see, Lord, that we just need to drown out all the white noise. That we need to, Lord, look in our past and see the victories that you have brought that have prepared us for today and for tomorrow. And then know, Lord, that we have everything that we need. And then, God, may our victories be many, because our faith is in you. So, Lord, I just ask that you would energize our hearts and our minds, and energize our spirit, Lord, to have a time of confession and repentance, forgiveness, Lord, right now in this moment. Lord, I pray that I pray that all of us here today would admit, Lord, that so often that we do exactly the opposite of what we see here in the life of David. That, Lord, we listen to the white noise of the world and the people around us. We don't remember the things, the victories that you've brought to us in the past. Thereby, we threaten our present and our future. We don't understand, Lord, that we already have everything that we need, that there's no missing pieces. We just need to develop them, Lord, in you. So, Father, I pray that as we all confess our need to be like David this morning, Lord, we just ask that you would lead us and help us, Lord, in this way of looking at life. And God, I just pray that you would be with all those that we love, Lord, wherever they are, and that they would know, Lord, of your grace and of your mercy and of our love and affection for them. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord.